This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours, like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more, made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
First and foremost, dude.
Yeah.
I miss you.
I miss you too.
I feel like you've been... I feel like I've helped in the creation of a monster. Where, like, you know, I was like, yeah, sick. Like, we'll hang out more. You know, I'm on Twitch all the time. And, like, you'll be on Twitch. And then we'll do stuff. We'll do IRL streams and shit together. Yeah. And now it's like, yeah. you're like in Nashville, or you're in fucking...
Well, you need to come over, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, we need to talk about some interesting factoids. Factoid number one.
Let's hear it.
How many times have you and I played video games together that it was just you and I since we started streaming? That's 2.5 years.
Like, it's probably zero, I would say. I don't know. How many? Do you have a number? I don't know.
Three.
I was watching your stream last night, and then you were going through like old Among Us footage, and then I saw how you fucking destroyed me, and then immediately put the blame on me, and then got me vented, and I was like, I'm triggered. I literally stopped.
Dude,
I stopped.
The Among Us era was so funny. I gaslit the shit out of each. We were too good at that game. You and I were both too good at that game.
Remember when you fucking lost your mind?
Yeah. Okay, I was talking about that last night, and it was because it was the first time we were playing with like OTV. And yeah. I was, my clout was so small that they couldn't even hear me speak.
I was literally like, hey, can I have my friend Will join us? Like, it's like wild to think about now because your clout has grown exponentially.
But you would, dude, for the entirety of that game, you were killing people right in front of me. And I was like, yeah, I just saw Hassan kill someone else. It's crazy. And they're like, yeah, but who could it be? And I was like, what? And I just reached an absolute tilting point.
Yeah, that was so great.
I have not been invited back to an OTV event since.
No, I do. I do see that. Yes. Yeah. I do know.
That was not great. But yeah, man, we gotta hang out more.
Don't worry.
We gotta play games. I know you're playing games again now.
I played one game.
You played Deathloop?
No, I haven't played it yet on stream. Last night I downloaded it. 2 days ago, I downloaded it, said I was going to play it, and then I didn't play it. And then last night, I was like, I clicked on it. I was like, yeah, we're doing it. We're finally playing. And then, boom, it says NVIDIA error. Like, you need to upgrade your drivers. So I did, and I did it on stream, thinking that the stream would continue. It ended my stream.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck this.
Is it a two-player game, or is it just one player?
I think there's a co-op option. I haven't really been able to figure it out, but it looks cool. It's like, okay. Did you play Dishonored?
Yeah.
Oh, it's same game. Like, it's okay. The same game with like what's the Tom Cruise Edge of Tomorrow mechanic in it, basically. It's like,
yeah.
It's
looping.
Like, it's meta. Yeah. It's meta. Groundhog it's like, Day. We're like a video game. You know what I mean? We're a video game, but that's like aware that it's kind of like a video game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's all right. So you were a menace in Nashville, dude.
I was a menace in Nashville. My body hurts.
Yeah.
So basically,
you good?
Yeah, I'm great. I mean, Wubby pulled me aside, and I knew because I'd watched the previous Price is Scuffed. He's like, we trashed the set. every year.
Mm-hmm.
And the set was incredible this year. Like they set up in Nashville so that they could have a lumber yard, like, or like a, like basically a woodworking facility next to a studio, so they could just bring all the sets over because there's so much they fabricated. And he was just like, yeah, just destroy stuff.
That's
and,
like,
and I was like, okay,
I saw.
Yeah. So Schlatt and I basically coordinated, and we were like, we're just going to like, we're going to have you trigger me is like kind of, and that's as much as we talked about it. Like we didn't rehearse, but that first one was so funny. And then I had the fucking boa constrictor on my back. And then at the end, I jumped through a table.
I saw.
There's a clip out there if you guys want to watch it. But the table had three layers of like ply. And I told Schlatt, I was like, I bet it'll be funny if I jump on this and I crack the first layer and all the booze slides down to the second layer. And he's like, yeah, that'd be great. I hit that table. I went through it like a hot knife through butter, and I hit that concrete going so fast.
I saw all of that.
The next day, I was sore. I'm pretty good at taking bumps, but that was a lot. That hurt.
Yeah. I just want to let you know I'm a wrestling fan now. While you were gone, I...
Son of a... Dude, okay.
Listen. That's right. While you were gone, okay. I started watching wrestling and also went to a football game.
You are the ex-girlfriend who starts doing all the things that her boyfriend tried to get her to do right after the breakup.
That's right.
First of all, let's talk about it. You went to a frickin' Rams game.
Yeah, well, before we do that, let's fucking roll the tape. Let's get started first. Yeah, that's right. I just cut you off.
Cut me off.
Exactly.
Son of a bitch.
I'm saying it, dude. I've been drinking pre-workout already. I'm ready to run through a brick wall, baby. Fuck it.
Name is Hassan.
What a fucking weaselly little liar, dude.
He cut me off with the tape.
I fucking that sure did. Good, I was though. Waiting.
I'm
was
just
waiting.
Angry because it was good.
I was waiting for a moment to be like, "Yep, that's I'm gonna piss you off, and then I'm gonna cut that's you good. Off." What's up, everybody? We're back. This is Fear and Malding. I don't even know what episode we're on, but we had a hiatus last week.
I think it's 15. I why did I say it? Now the editor. It. No, God, they're already shaking. Oh
no,
man,
it's not. Is you're definitely.
Ah, jeez.
We're back. We had a hiatus last week because you know, in memoriam of 9/11, Will wanted to honor Muhammad Atta. I think he said it was weird. I was like, okay, I don't know who that guy is, but he's like, yeah, man, we got to take the day off, dude. We got to take the week off, dude.
I stood in a Walmart parking lot with a 20-foot American flag and just waved that son of a bitch back and forth all day.
Oh, that's what he's telling you guys. But he was
and he then said he observed prayer to Mecca five times a day as well.
He I know what he did. He wasn't here. He was in New Jersey. He went to a rooftop to dance. That's what he told me he was doing. He didn't want it to be. He didn't want it coming out.
Jesus.
Oh, but yeah, no, it's that's not what happened. Will's a fucking globetrotter now, so we can't even get him on the show anymore. And I was sick.
Booked and, solid.
Yeah, he's just like, sorry, dude.
Did you ever find out what you were sick with? You just had mystery illness.
No, I love that there's this new thing that doctors do where they just literally are like, it's not COVID. It's probably like literally I have no, I got a test and I'm freaking out. I'm like, is it COVID? Cause like my parents had left already, but I'm still worried. Like, what if it was COVID and I might have like given
spread
it to
them? And
yeah. So doctors now do this thing where they just go, thankfully it's not COVID. It's probably one of those respiratory things going around. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, I would like to know what
which respiratory thing.
Yeah, like is it bronchitis? Like, what the fuck's going on? Like,
is it mesothelioma? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, fuck it. Don't worry. It's not COVID, so you're good. It's like, all right, well, I feel like shit. I'm like fucking, you know, sneezing blood
week. That's since like people have started to reintroduce themselves in society, I feel like there are a bunch of really intense, like kind of flu-like illnesses flying around.
Yeah. They were waiting. They were like this. The flus were waiting. They were at the gates. They were like, I can't wait. You know, I'm going to fuck these dudes up.
I'm going to make them remember me.
Yeah. When these motherfuckers come back, dude, it's fucking over.
Yeah, dude.
So now everyone's just like sick. People just get sick and then they're like, it's not COVID. Fuck it. You know what I mean?
All the time. It's like every time you go into society.
Yeah. But You know, luckily it wasn't, and I am recovering. I'm in good shape now. I had like a fat finger injury too. Oh yeah, since the nail salon, I like this blew up. I don't know how.
Oh, it got infected.
Yeah, it got like crazy infected, and I've been putting some ivermectin on.
Oh no. That almost slid by me the way you did it. Yeah, so naturally.
Yeah, I've been, you know, I went to the doctor. The doctor said, put some ivermectin.
Real quick.
Put some iver on it, brother.
Some of that iver on there.
Yeah, no, the ivermectin is the hat stiffener. Like, you were joking about hat stiffener. It's ivermectin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in some ivermectin?
Yeah.
Listen, you look like a man who wants to stay healthy.
Yeah.
How much can I interest you in?
Yeah, would you like some? We got apple flavored. We got tapioca flavored ivermectin.
Yeah, the horses love that one.
Yeah. Well, that was specifically for the hogs, you know. Yeah. Tapioca flavored is for the older conservative gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Also comes with a DVD box set of Matlock.
DVD box set of Matlock, and, you know, you got a lifetime subscription for you know, our televangelist.
Dude, I thought it was really funny. I never just mean to just club on someone because we talk, you know, I feel like Joe
what
Rogan
do you mean?
Comes up a lot.
I love clubbing on people. But, go off.
It was just crazy to me how, like, Joe Rogan, like, people were, you know, basically ripping on him for taking ivermectin. And he was like, yeah, they're saying I'm taking horse dewormer. It's like, yeah, you are. Yeah, that's like someone doing a bunch of ketamine and being like, oh, dude, why do you keep saying I'm taking cat tranquilizer? This is drugs, man.
Yeah, it's like what? No, they're kids, dude. Joe Rogan is literally like a kid. He had the guy who did Cocaine Cowboys on last. And the first 10 minutes of the podcast is just like the documentarian that did Cocaine Cowboys, like, literally telling Joe, like, dude, you are so wrong about, like, everything. Please stop.
Stop what you're doing.
Yeah. And you know, he's just basically telling him, like, straight facts. I watched a Joe Rogan fan, like, break it down, and they were like, many people in the Joe Rogan fandom were saying that he was reading facts from a script. It's like, first of all, he's a fucking documentarian.
Yeah.
So if he came correct to one of the most popular podcasts on the fucking planet and, like, actually wrote out facts, then what's the problem?
Yeah.
That still does...
Dude, the other thing...
That doesn't devalue his point of view, but he wasn't even doing it.
The other thing that you have to realize is, like, listen, the creator of Cocaine Cowboys is famous in his own right, but, like, when you show up on Joe Rogan, that is your opportunity to talk about elk meat and plug products.
Yeah.
For him to go after Joe Rogan and be like, please... Please stop doing this. That does not behoove him.
Like, Joe started off with Florida because he's, like, from the guy is from Florida, and, like, he's, you know, Cocaine Cowboys. You know, he's done a bunch of extensive docs on Florida. Yeah, yeah. He did the 30 for 30, the U. Like, I've
watched, my favorite 30 for 30.
Yeah,
it's all about the U.
I've seen
it's all about.
Like, I hate sports, and you know this already. And I also,
oh my god, the U is the best.
But I watched that when I was in
the dance move, the George Jefferson.
Which one? I don't even know.
It's this one right here where you, like, put up.
I did not know that.
It's like you put a leg up, cock it to the side, and throw your dick into it.
It's actually a, I think it's called, like, opening the door. It's like a stretch exercise.
Yeah,
well.
I mean that, but it's, dude, the U was like.
They were just doing it.
They redefined Sports Celebration. Anyway, I cut you off. Keep going.
No, it's all good. But so he basically was just, like, talking about how COVID is, like, murdering cops, like, one cop a day.
That's so crazy.
In Florida, it's nuts. Like,
it's crazy that cops just aren't, like, not vaccinated.
No, because they're, like, 90% Republican. Of course, they're not going to get vaccinated. Yeah, yeah. And police unions are, like, fighting back aggressively. They're like, no, we're not going to get vaccinated. It's like, okay, then die. You know what I mean? Fucking go ahead, die. Like, you're a public servant. You're literally spreading COVID to people that you're dealing with on a daily basis. Some of these people are incredibly vulnerable. But, like, you know, also at the same time, yeah, a little give and take, you know, pro, a little con there. Okay, if you're gonna fucking die from COVID, like, if you look at officer down pages in, like, Texas, it's like COVID-19, accidental discharge, COVID-19, car crash, COVID-19. I'm not even kidding. It's literally 145 cops have died.
That's so crazy. I mean, we talk about this a lot, but, like the mentality that, you know, like. And a police officer being killed in the line of duty is, like, one of the most galvanizing things for the police force, right?
Yeah.
It's like if a cop is shot, it's like, we're going in and we're finding this motherfucker. We're going full Serpico.
Yeah.
We're going Cobra. They drew first blood.
Yeah.
But like when it's a virus, they're like, well, you know, natural selection.
Yeah. It's like, Like, it's just, they're, I don't know what to say. They're just like a paramilitary group that's like lightly trained and incredibly well armed that are all hogs. Like we talk about like the Proud Boys and shit, like cops, dude. That's like, that's them. But they have lethal force. They have an, they have authorization to enact the monopoly of violence that the state has.
I'll listen to Joe Rogan.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And they all listen to Joe Rogan, and they're all ivermectin boys. They're on that mectin, brother. But it's nuts.
You know, this is a good kind of informational for, I guess, a lot of people listening, because I don't fucking know. Do you even know what the thought thread is on taking ivermectin to deal with COVID?
Yes.
What is? I don't even know.
So ivermectin is an antiparasitic
Right.
drug.
I know that. It's a dewormer.
Yeah, it's a dewormer. I mean, it's mostly used in cattle and like obviously for
God
horses
damn
and
it,
stuff.
I wish this wasn't real.
Yeah, and then there was actually a human use for it that was found, I believe, either in 2005 or 2015. They always bring it up. They're like, right. Nobel Prize winner. It's a Nobel Prize winning, like, you know, research. Right. It's like, so were lobotomies, okay? Are you going to do a lobotomy for COVID then? How about that? Try it out, brother. You know, put a little boop ice pick right in the fucking dome. See how that fixes your COVID real quick. Yeah. It does. If you fucking die, you no longer have COVID.
Yeah.
So these guys are psychotic, but it's also not fucking a Nobel Prize winner for COVID or even antiviral medication. Oh, it's Nobel Prize winning for use in humans for river blindness and numerous other fucking worms and shit. You know what I mean? It's a dewormer.
River blindness.
Yeah, it's just like, it's so dumb. And then it is basically it's like this version of hydroxychloroquine.
Right.
Which was, you know, malaria, lupus, that sort of thing.
Got it.
And you know, it didn't work. And America's front.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My doctors pumped it out and they were like trying to shill it, and people were like trying to sneakily get hydroxychloroquine, which also sounded, you know, creepily similar to hydrochlorine, I think, or hydrochloroquine, which is like the fish tank cleaner. So only one, I think it was only one couple that actually took it and died. But like other than that, luckily they couldn't get their hands on that, you know.
That is so grim and hilarious.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the thought process when they're like, we can't find none of this hydrochloroquine. And then they're like, wait a minute. Honey, I found a bottle at the PetSmart.
Yeah.
Boom. You just fucking whip that up in a margarita.
No, that's...
Toss that back.
That's literally what happened. With
I could take my mind to those places.
Yeah. That's precisely what happened with ivermectin, where like it started blowing up in these groups, and you know, you got Brett Weinstein and all these other like fucking podcasters and shit that were like pumping it up. And people couldn't have access to it though, because doctors are like, the fuck, you don't have a parasite, we're not going to give it to you.
Right.
So they were like, don't matter, I'll get it from the feed store. So they started these massive Facebook groups where they were like, where people were collaborating with one another, telling each other like, well, if you're, you know, 100 pounds, like, you should take this amount of horse dewormer. And you know, so they started taking the horse version of it. Obviously rich people, they can fucking tell their doctor, like, give me ivermectin, and the doctor will give it to him.
Right.
So it's a little different for Joe Rogan and, like, some other rich people. But some of the other countries that did not have access to the vaccine were, you know, they were just throwing whatever they can at the problem. So they were trying to use ivermectin as a treatment. No studies have conclusively shown thus far that ivermectin is an effective.
Does anything.
No studies have shown conclusively thus far that ivermectin actually works as a antiviral. There's one study that said that there was one study done on, I think, rats, which have a very similar. Rats.
No, I know.
That's the reason why
they use them to test. Pharmaceuticals before.
So there was one study done on rats that showed that ivermectin, if used in like massive dosages, could have antiviral properties. Right, but the study was never used on humans. The study was never replicated, and also, if you extrapolate the data from that study, it came out that the amount of ivermectin that you need to ingest in order for it to have antiviral
just
properties
nukes your system.
would lead to serious complications. So that's why whenever these people say like it's a safe drug, it's the safest drug ever in the world, in the history of the world. No drug has ever been safer. It's like, no, dude, you're delusional. Like, you're a psycho. Like, you can die from aspirin, dude.
Like, pot's still illegal in some areas. And you're like, come on, man. What the fuck?
Yeah. So they're just, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And, you know, it's paired up with the skepticism towards the vaccine.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, that we just passed the anniversary of 9/11, because that's kind of like, you know, patient zero for like when the mistrust of any authority started, like the loose change era of it's like the government is lying to you. Yeah. The hospitals are lying to you. The construction companies are lying to you. The airlines are lying to you.
Yeah.
I might be lying to you.
Only me. I'm the only one who's being truthful. Yeah. So, I mean, loose change era is interesting because it's like it was authentic. In the sense that, like, that skepticism against the government was understandable. It was authentic. Yeah. It was a cataclysmic, world-changing event.
Yeah.
And people were legitimately, like, seeking answers to these questions that the government was, like, kind of wishy-washy on. And did not, like, offer a lot of answers for, right? But since then, there has been a massive movement by, you know, actors, dishonest actors that are purposely and willingly spreading misinformation.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were people back then that did it as well.
The guy that was in the same film festivals as Loose Change. For those of you who are listening who are a little lost, Loose Change is a documentary that is credited to being
the
the birth of the truther movement, where like three guys put together a truth about 9/11. But the other guy that was in those same film festivals was Alex Jones. That's like when he was still in front of a blue screen backdrop and he's like, $7, you know.
Yeah. Alex Jones was a big conspiracy theorist from back then as well. But it was innocuous for the most part back then. And then it like flipped over to like Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
Sandy Hook truthers, Obama is Kenyan, you know, birther conspiracies. Like, it branched out in like wild ways, right? Understandably, there's like a lot of skepticism about our media that fucking completely lied to the American public alongside the State Department to go into Iraq and you know, bang the war drum super hard. But the fact that so many of these people now like just fucking latch onto like increasingly more psychopathic conspiracies is terrifying. I'm sure nothing bad will happen. It's totally normal for like, you know, 12% of the public to believe that there's like fucking chips in the vaccine or some shit. You know what I mean? It's normal stuff. And basically that's the story of ivermectin. They just, if you look at a trend chart, and I've done this on stream before, like hydroxychloroquine pops off, dies down, and then ivermectin is like flying off the hinges now. Like it's literally like, and it's the same with like CRT, critical race theory, brother. No one's talking about it now. Antifa.
Dude, this is the conservative pump and dump, man. They're way past fucking NFTs and blockchain. They're just going to make pharmaceuticals and fucking pump them. They're like, we got an abundance of cattle. Deconstipator, you know, cattle's diets have been real good. So, how can we get people to take a bunch of this, you know, cow laxative?
Well, that's
we can tell them they can shit the COVID out.
That's the immediate assumption, right? Back in the day, it's not new. This is not new. Like, snake oil salesman is a thing,
money.
Right? Like, confidence men selling you, you know, bullshit supplements. And one of like a lot of the main guys that are responsible for all this COVID vaccine disinfo do actually sell their own supplements, but there's a secondary, like they sell like vitamins and shit like that. Yeah. Ironically, not FDA approved, of course.
Of course.
But the secondary line of individuals are actually banking on just being the subversive, you know, skeptic guy and building an audience and then being able to show them merchandise instead of the product. Because Merck, which produces ivermectin, immediately came out and was like, well, of course we have to. They stand to gain the most from ivermectin being sold. Oh, man. And they came out and said, don't use this product for COVID-19. It has not been proven. We're closely monitoring the situation. But thus far, there's no medical research. There's no established peer-reviewed medical research that shows COVID-19 is an effective treatment for, or ivermectin is an effective treatment for COVID-19 symptoms. And people are like, la, 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 don't hear you, can't hear you, fuck you. You know, big pharma in the pocket of COVID. That's right. Yeah. And it's insane. But people like Brett Weinstein, they don't sell ivermectin. They just sell the idea that they are different and that they're skeptics and they're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And then they go on Joe Rogan and they suckle on the teat of Rogan and then they can sell a book or whatever the fuck. Like, I was looking at his Patreon. It fucking blew up since he came out with the ivermectin shit.
Yeah.
So it's all become like a weird industry of disinformation because there's like a, you know, it's a target rich audience. There's a lot of fucking idiots that want to buy supplements
We just need to put the fucking vaccine in Fit Tea and sell it like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Then, Fit Tea not only makes you skinnier now, it also prevents, you know, various viruses, mainly COVID-19.
Yeah.
And then like just have them sell it to one another.
Yeah.
Tupperware parties.
That would be the most effective way to get all these like skeptics to fucking, you know, take this supplement.
Pyramid scheme.
Like, it's honestly,
old-fashioned pyramid scheme.
I wonder what would happen if you just like paid all the skeptics to be like, just, you know, shill COVID-19 vaccines, please. Instead of like paying Olivia Rodrigo to be like, I'm TikTok dancing. You should do COVID-19 vaccines. I have Pfizer. Like,
well, that's a pretty good dance. You know, I mean, like, I should get COVID vaccine.
Like, that's never going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, the disdain that these, hogs feel.
With those
for
hundreds
elites.
Of millions of dollars, you can buy a COVID vaccine. Or apparently, you can get Gavin Newsom reelected.
That's a great segue. Misinfo, which is what we're going to talk about today. The handsome, supervillain lookalike Gavin Newsom, who is most notable for fucking your wife, okay? For all of your wives. Your moms, your wives. Gavin Newsom has fucked them. Okay, this man can't keep his dick in his pants. He just defeated the recall efforts in California, a costly endeavor. $300 million,
they say. $300 million, and the best part was watching the Democrats go from, we got this, to, we got this, right? To, oh, fuck.
And then,
all hands on deck!
Yeah.
Get AOC to do a fucking TikTok. Like, it got spooky there for a minute.
Yeah, because, like, there was, like, a couple polls that came out that showed, like, because the recall effort is tricky, right? Like,
yeah. You have to get people to vote, and if people don't vote, then he wins by, you know, just de facto or whatever.
Like, you could literally win with, like, if in a hypothetical situation where, like, it's a complicated process somewhat, right? Because you got to dumb this shit down for everybody, for the average American. In a complicated process where, like, 51% voted yes on the recall and no one voted on the second dot, like, I could be the fucking, you know. I could be the next governor if enough people wrote me.
There were two pages.
As long as I was registered.
Two full pages, apparently, of write-ins.
Yeah.
There was, like, 200 candidates.
What do you mean, apparently? Oh, you didn't vote. You son of a bitch.
Bro, I was in Nashville.
You son of a bitch. You see that? Benedict Arnold in the rank.
Benedict Arnold. I wasn't even here.
Secret Larry Elder.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, anyway.
We'll get him next time, Larry.
Yeah. You're not alone. I believe, like, the number of people that voted is, like, you know, a fraction of the people that voted in the general elections, obviously. And that's expected. Most people don't even know what the fuck's going on. But what ended up happening, of course, is that, you know, in the final couple days when, like, Democrats finally realized, like, you know, we got to take the shit seriously. It was a wrap. It was GG's. Like, he fucking cumstered the recall shit. And he actually performed better in areas that he had, like, won by massive margins, like Napa Valley, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, and if you have, like, a side by side of, like, the recall efforts, you know, those who voted yes, it's literally the COVID heat map. Like areas where COVID is spiking currently, all voted yes to recall Gavin Newsom.
That's so funny.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But it's interesting because, you know, I was looking through my Instagram and there's, you know, we have some mutual friends that I'm not going to blast right now, but they're all like, do you think this recall election was actually stolen?
No.
And then they have like a yes, no. And I love clicking on the fucking, you know, polls on Instagram to see like what their audience
and what
their fan base thinks. I have a lot of fucking chud California friends, like not friends, but like, you know, people that I'm acquainted with that are just like straight fucking psychos who now low key believe that like elections are stolen.
What's interesting is like, I think just like a lot of areas in the country, a lot of things, just strange things get attributed to, oh, this could be made better by a conservative. Like everybody who's paying taxes in California think, you know, oh my God, if Larry Elder was in, it'd be an awful nightmare, but I would pay less in taxes. You know what I mean? Stuff like that where it's like, you don't even know if that's the case necessarily, but they just like start to attribute those things to.
Yeah. And it's ridiculous because, you know, look, California is not a perfect state. Okay. We got a lot of problems here. A lot of problems that Gavin Newsom has not addressed. Okay. Yeah. Despite the fact that he pledged, maybe
he's too busy
maybe because
your girlfriend.
Well, yeah, he's going to French Laundry and he's just dick deep. He's just diving. He's diving his penis directly into your wife's vagina. Okay. And that's what he's doing. It's the truth. So
he's vaccinating her the old fashioned.
Yeah, exactly. He's just shedding inside of her the vaccine. The reason why I say that is, I don't know if you saw the ad, but there was a guy who literally was like, Gavin Newsom fucked my best friend's wife. I'm not even kidding. Like, Gavin Newsom is like that cool guy that has sex with your girlfriend or something. Yeah. And it's like, please recall him. Yeah. It's like, dude, are you good?
Dude, it's just one guy's personal beef. And he's like, yeah, this guy I knew. Definitely not me. Some other guy.
Yeah.
Definitely not my wife. But he fucked someone's wife, you know. He fucked Cindy. I mean, no, that's my wife. He fucked my friend's wife.
Yeah, also named
his
Cindy.
His name is
also
Cindy.
Yeah. Cindy, not my wife.
It's like the longest bit.
So, you know, but that's actually very effective marketing because, like, I think a lot of the anger, the anger that a lot of Republicans feel like revolve around the sexual
their
sexual insecurities of like people fucking their wives. So
dude, it's always so funny that is like one of the big criticisms of Dems. It's like JFK too hot, Obama too hot, Gavin Newsom too hot.
Yeah,
we need someone who looks like a frog.
Yeah, that's, but then they turn around and they're like, Donald Trump was so sexy.
Like, yeah, but that's like them being like obstinate. You know what I mean?
He's so masculine.
That's like Playboy Cardi fans being like, oh, that last album was fire. It's like, no, it's not.
Oh, shit. That's good. I mean, you're right.
They hear it and they're like, oh, God, that's good. You know what I mean? Like,
Don't shoot the market. Pew, pew. Don't shoot the market. Don't shoot the market. Cardi. Yeah, beep, 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 beep.
Yo, you hearing this?
Yo, this shit is fire.
Yo, Donald Trump is hot, dog. Yeah, he is sexy.
Exactly.
I want him to put that belly on my back.
Yeah, he's got a fat dumper. It's true. But so the recall efforts were destroyed promptly. And, of course, now you got OAN and Newsmax and all these other fucking outlets like literally just running the conspiracy that like in a state like California –
yeah.
There must have been electoral fraud, widespread electoral fraud for a Democratic governor.
California's
not...
never gone blue, so it is shocking.
Yeah, it's so wild. I mean, like, California used to be red. Like, it's Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon.
Yeah,
like,
Ronald fucking red.
It used to be a swing state, but, like, it has not been a swing state for, two decades now, okay? Chill the fuck out, everybody.
Yeah.
And
the last time fucking... Frank Sinatra had a number one hit single. That's when it was a swing state.
So it's like, it's stupid that, you know, people are just like, oh, this must be electoral fraud. It's like me being like, I cannot believe Alabama went red.
Yeah.
There must be some widespread electoral fraud going on.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah. Mississippi, red? What? Hold the phone. Hold on. I'm sensing a lot of electoral fraud here. Some voter fraud. Well, there is electoral fraud in places like that. They just like literally are like, if you're black, you can't vote. That's the electoral fraud. There was also that one guy who was dressed up in all Trump gear, who was a polling station worker. That is super illegal. It's called electioneering. Okay. And apparently they like told him to leave. He was in West Hollywood just wearing like a Where's Hunter shirt and a Trump 2020 like MAGA hat.
He's wearing a Where's Hunter shirt. Dude, that's not even like Trumper. That's like deep Trumper.
Yeah. Someone in my chat made this joke. I'm stealing it. It's like, Republicans are like, you know, the African kids that get the fucking loser team. Like the loser Super Bowl team.
Like Atlanta Falcons, yeah. Super Bowl champs.
Yeah. It's like they're just rocking. They're just buying their own MAGA merch to like celebrate losing. Oh, brother, you're still a victor in my head, in my mind. So that's it's wonderful.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, Larry Elder, he lost. He conceded. There was some funny stuff going on. Like, they knew that he was going to lose, like, obviously, because the polling data showed, like, he's not, no shot. And immediately when they realized that, they turned to, like, well, the election is actually rigged. Before the election happened. Like, they're like, well, it is rigged.
Shit.
So now that's just what we do now. Like, this is how we operate.
This is the way of things.
This is just how it will always go. And Republicans used to do this as well, like, way back in the day. They've always done this. They've always, like, lied about the integrity of the elections in an effort to, like, justify doing more voter suppression bills. Yeah. Like, you know, signature matching and numerous other, like, things that they utilize.
Yeah, quick phrenology check before.
Yeah, you know, or I mean, literally the grandfather clause back in like the Jim Crow era is directly that, right? So they've always relied on that. Like, conservatives have always relied on any manner of like different strategies to stop people from voting. So they've always lied about it. So now they're still continuing to do so. It's just like ramped up under Trump. It like really took it to the next degree where they're no longer like casting doubt on the integrity of elections. They're just straight up saying it, like, it's stolen
before the election even happens.
Yeah. Before the election even happens, like, it's rigged, it's stolen. Fuck it. You know?
Yeah.
And the worst part about that is that they have, you know, padded the decks.
Dude, you know what the funniest thing would have been though? What? If they, during the polls, were like, this is bullshit. And then Larry Elder won, they'd be like, well, justice. Like, even if they were like, this is, that's like the double recall situation.
They 100%
would have. They're like, you need to stop counting over here, but you need to get your ass counting over here.
I mean, they did that, remember? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stop the count in other areas where Trump is winning. Start the count in other areas where Trump is losing.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's like, in my moral system, everything is correct if I say, you know, all the Democratic votes are illegal and all the Republican votes are legal.
Yeah.
Like, so it's foolproof. It's a foolproof system. But as I was saying, they're also are demons, and they've taken preventative measures. Like, Republican legislatures all around the country have like put forward bills, like in Texas, where a Republican legislature that is like heavily gerrymandered too, that doesn't matter what like the state looks like, doesn't matter how many people are Democrat in the state, can overturn the results via like a court, like overturn Democratic results. So this is already happening all around the country. So, you know, look forward to that in the 2022 midterm elections. Jeez. Like, that's going to be really, it's going to be really exciting when Republicans are like, I know more Democrats actually won, despite the fact that we made it so that you had to jump through this labyrinth to be able to go vote if you're black in a black neighborhood. also, you know,
we're
Democrats
here
still
at the 2022 voting combine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, literally,
need at least a 4 or 5 to vote. First up, we have Bernard Washington. Bernard looks like he might be able to vote this year. Oh, stumble off the gate. He's not going to be able to vote. Too bad, Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard is a 75-year-old black man. Yeah. He's like, he's been prepping to be able to vote. It's like, nope, not this year, Bernard.
Oh, you hate to see it.
Yeah,
so much promise.
Yeah, so like they already have that on the front end, and on the back end, even if Democrats do end up winning, they can overturn it. So, you know, really fun stuff to look forward to in our crumbling empire. Yeah. But that's just how it's going to be going forward, forever. So there is that.
Forever.
Yeah, no, get excited. Get excited for the future of elections to be like completely fucking disgusting and you know, all that fun stuff. I want to talk about something that I want to hear your take on.
The Met Gala?
Yes.
No way did I call it.
Yes, of course.
Oh, boy.
So let's like move on to that immediately, because I need to hear your take on this. For those of you who don't know, Met Gala happened. It's like a big fucking, you know, it's a gluttonous exercise in like, you know, getting a bunch of like rich designers and like really cool, but also very rich celebrities to come together and wear like, you know, crazy outfits. And there's a theme, and this year's theme was America, whatever the fuck that is.
In America.
Yeah. And basically it's to fundraise for the Met. And so that like everyone can go and look at the costume designs and shit like that. I'm a big advocate for funding the cultural programs, the arts and whatnot. I don't have a problem with that. But like art under our, you know, late stage capitalist organization of the economy is basically just a money laundering scheme for the wealthy to like make it seem like they're doing like really good philanthropy, when in fact it's just like, you know, it's led by appraisers and people who are just hiding their assets in art.
So let's dive into it. I'm going to give you my best fit of the night.
Okay.
First of all, Lil Nas X.
Very cool.
Three outfit changes, full suit of armor, anime reference.
Yeah.
I mean, you really can't beat that.
It was actually very cool. Even by the end of it, even when he had like just a chain link looking thing, like that was hot.
Incredible.
That was very good.
And I am like, I really like going through and looking at all the Met fits, because there's
worst was Dan Levy. The two dudes making out.
Oh.
With like the big fat like parachute.
Dan Levy? Yeah. You said Levi.
Oh, is it Levy? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. I literally was like, is that the guy who has Levi jeans? I thought
terrible.
It had some cool piping on the shoulders.
Terrible.
Okay.
That outfit was
just flat.
Just
I also was confused by
that outfit.
Frank Ocean's baby. The green baby?
I think Frank Ocean's outfit was fire.
His
the baby
outfit
was
fire.
Weird.
I didn't understand the baby.
I don't think he understood the baby. They asked him questions about it, and he's like, yeah, you know, like technology and stuff. And it's like,
it's a baby.
Okay.
It's a green baby.
It's a green baby. Okay,
Kim Kardashian wore the all black. There's a bunch of conspiracy theories around that, because now, like, Kanye is following a bunch of people with black icons on their Instagram, and she's done this at like two separate events, and they think it's like a marketing thing. I don't know.
Most likely. Kim Kardashian doesn't fucking breathe without marketing.
Right. Doesn't miss.
Yeah.
Sia wore Russell Wilson's jersey as a sequin dress, which I thought it would have worked if it wasn't fucking neon green.
I did not even see that one.
The Seahawks colors are neon green and
yeah. Oh, I do. Yes, I did see it.
She had a football clutch. I think it would have worked if it wasn't Seahawks colors, but Seahawks colors are pretty rough. And very on theme, right? In America, football, you know, you went to a football game.
I did.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, without you.
But let's talk about what you want to talk about, because this is all window dressing so that we can get into the main issue. Because
then AOC came out.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, AOC, came out and she was rocking a dress.
So let's talk about the real issue.
Yeah.
Bitch stole your look.
She fucking did, dude. I mean, she literally was like 2015 Hassan wearing the fucking Make the Rich Pay anarchist shirt that his anarchist street artist friend made.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're stealing that look. We're stealing it. It's fucking bullshit, okay? And of course, everyone's been clowning me for that fit for like a month now. And, you know, they haven't stopped.
All right, so I'll take the pressure off you so you don't have to be the one to say it. AOC's great. She does a lot of great work. She's wonderful.
Oh, I've said a lot already.
Big fan of her.
But
just in this broadcast, I think it was, first of all, I'm going to say it wasn't a great dress. I've seen better dresses. It was just kind of like a ballroom gown. You know, the Met is all about pushing the envelope. Obviously, a lot of the other evening fits are very abstract. I would have loved to see her wear something a little bit more high fashion, but this is me. This is very nitpicky. And here's my thing, and we might have a different take about this. I don't give a shit if politicians go to the Met, okay?
I don't disagree with you at all. I agree.
It's totally okay to go to the Met. But, like, don't go to the Met and then be like, this is a protest. When it's like, dude.
We have the same exact take on this,
right,
by the way.
It is like getting a vanity license plate on your Lamborghini that says, like, you know, like, tanky. Where it's like, what? It's a fucking Lamborghini. Like, dude, it is the most expensive event. You're wearing a $100,000 dress. You have a $30,000 seat at the table. You are literally toasting with those rich people you want to be taxing.
So, yes. So, and you know, that is the part that I don't like either. Like, the fact that this is purely performative.
Yeah.
It's not, like, real activism. There was real activism going on outside the Met Gala.
Right.
There were protesters getting their fucking skulls caved in by hogs of the NYPD. Ultimately, I love AOC. I think she does great work in Congress. I've talked about it before. Like, she's a solid legislator. I'm a fan of what she does with respect to, like, mutual aid. I think she takes care of her district very well. These are things that, unfortunately, are not sexy to fucking talk about, so people don't give a shit.
Right.
Some of her foreign policy takes have been, not great. But ultimately, she does a lot. She does a decent job. The bar is very low for politicians in America, but ultimately, she's inspiring people to run for office, and that's a good thing. Like, inspiring leftists to run for office, and that's a good thing, in the same way that Bernie inspired her and many others in the squad.
Right.
And we're building momentum within the Democratic Party. Obviously, if you believe that she was going to be a vanguard, like, you know, Mao's third worldist, building the vanguard party to, like, take up revolutionary arms against the bourgeois state, yes, that was never going to happen. You are delusional. You don't have any fucking friends outside of your Discord. And you probably have some FBI agents that are going to knock down your door soon if you keep this shit up. So
here's part of my problem, and we can get into this. Her wearing tax the rich to the Met Gala feels like DJ Marshmello wearing his fucking marshmallow helmet to a rave. It's like, it's so branding, it's so marketing that it's commoditizing socialism again. And that is, like, the criticism.
But it's
of
not
a lot
taxing
of,
the rich is not even socialism,
right? But again, like, you know what she stands for. You know what she's a figurehead for, right? And when you do this, like, very performative stuff, it is the criticism that these ideals of, like, American socialism, American, like, independence under, like, in direct opposition to capitalism, are only nourished because they exist under capitalism, right? And, like, I don't think that's true. But when you do something like go to the Met, and with the tax the rich shirt, it's like the idea that, like, okay, this is like WWE socialism. Like, let's march out the Iron Sheik. Here come the socialists. Rah. Yeah. Their fans are going crazy. Oh my God, AOC off the top rope. She told Glenn Beck what? You know what I mean? It's just like so.
No, it's performative. I agree with you in a sense that, like, I don't give a shit if she went to the Met Gala.
Don't.
Obviously, it's fucking tight. Okay, there's some cool ass people that go
dope.
That get invited. She was invited as well. If you think that, like, most of these fucking, you know, Twitter activists are not gonna take the opportunity to go to the fucking Met Gala, you're out of your
crazy
mind. Of course they would. Like, who the fuck wouldn't want to, like, hang out with Frank Ocean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would be tight. It'd be, like, sick. And you know, this is a person who's a fucking bartender, like, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
With, like, negative income. And now she's, like, without betraying most of her values, has been able to get to a position of prominence, is invited to this thing, this spectacle. I think it would have been better if she, like, didn't try to turn that into, like, this is actually a reasonable thing. This is actually an activism thing that I'm doing. You could have just, like, gone there. Brought attention to the fact that, like, NYPD is, like, pummeling skulls outside.
Yeah.
And that's completely unacceptable. You could have brought attention to the fact that we have gilded era level of income inequality right now, where, like, you know, our elites are sitting here and toasting with one another, when in fact, you know, people are still suffering the worst effects of the pandemic. That would have been that would have been a little bit more threatening as far as like having a stance like that. But then you don't really get invited again. And then CNN doesn't offer you positive coverage. They say you're a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
You went to the event, you're a hypocrite, and now you're just like shitting on the event. That's real activism. That's a little bit more real activism than like actually fucking,
yeah.
Than just like being as inoffensive as possible in the form of like a tax the rich shirt. Having said that though, I don't like I said, I think it's overblown and it's always
hugely
weird.
Overblown.
It's always weird when like, you know, left wingers operate like right wingers to criticize people. I do understand why people are worried.
Or to stand.
Yeah, I do understand why people are worried, though, because people are worried because they're worried that, you know, this movement and what AOC stands for, which is still growing and it's gaining momentum still, that people are worried that, like, as a figurehead of this thing, whatever this is, she is susceptible to being co-opted and defanged. And that does happen. Either you get disrupted by the government. Or by, you know, those who are interested in destroying you.
You know, get bought.
Look at what, look at what happened in the fucking Black Panther Party. They either assassinate you or they co-opt your movement and turn it into yet another expression of an expression that you can make money off of. And now, obviously, people are going to say, like, well, you're doing the same shit. I'm a fucking Twitch streamer. My goal, ultimately, is to do agitated propaganda and to look at fucking cussy memes. I'm not a legislator. On the legislator front, AOC, I think, does a good enough job overall,
yeah.
Especially with like the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill that's being held off in Congress at the moment, being held captive by the Progressive Caucus. That would never fucking happen if the Progressive Caucus did not exist, where there weren't 46 members that were, you know, more progressive than the fucking moderates, and we didn't have such large numbers now. That would never happen. Like, they would just never pass through that. They would never pass that at all. It wouldn't even be a matter of discussion. So these are the small marginal improvements, and it feels like it's not a lot, especially if you're suffering in the moment and you're seeing so much suffering around you. You feel like, oh, fuck this. But it's still marginally better and a step towards somewhat improving the material conditions of the working class. So I'm on board with it. Bad PR overall.
That's the bottom line. Right? Yeah. It's just like listen.
Terrible PR.
I will speak for you, but like you've kind of made it clear, like we don't want to again overly criticize AOC or anything that she's done. It was just a bad. It just felt strange. It felt like eating ortolan, right? Like shamefully decadent.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great fucking analogy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Put the fucking, you know,
veil over.
Put the veil over your head.
Hide your shame from God.
Yeah, but God sees you eating that bird, motherfucker. Yeah,
that drowned canary tastes good.
Probably.
Yeah. No, I mean, but you know, I don't know. It's maybe it's good. Maybe like the more that we can make, you know, just helping people vogue. Maybe that is, maybe we are the short-sighted ones in that sense. Maybe we have to sell progress through a fucking TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
People are talking about, no, dude. I mean, look, I'm very much in favor of making socialism cool. Okay. Like I'm a cool lefty.
I'm a cool guy.
No, but like I like
medicine. It's hip.
No, I just like, I like to have fun. Okay. I'm not like a fucking psycho joy kill who's like constantly fucking depressed and, you know, basically reinforcing their anxieties and their neuroses on the timeline to everyone else because they feel like fucking pain every single moment of their lives. I don't think we should be like that. I think, you know, you can be someone who's an advocate for progress, can be an advocate for democratic socialism, while simultaneously also enjoying things.
Yeah.
Being able to laugh at comedy without being like, well, I don't know, what are the ethical complications that arise from laughing at a Norm MacDonald joke? You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. And most people are like that. Especially the people that were criticizing AOC. So many of the same people that were fucking criticizing AOC were like, bah, 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 I can't believe that, like, you know, she's doing this. How fucking crazy. Then they would like retweet Rihanna and be like, slay, sis. It's like, yo, she's a billionaire, dude. Like, how do you not see the fucking mismatch in your values here? Simultaneously, you're like celebrating these fucking celebrities while also shitting on AOC. Like, she's just doing what a normal human would do, which is like, yeah, of course I'm going to fucking want to try to be around Rihanna. Okay. I want to be in smelling distance of some of these fucking celebrities. Not Ashton Kutcher, who apparently doesn't shower, but like, you know, the cool ones. So
yeah,
you know, that's just like a normal thing. As a normal,
I want to hold Frank Ocean's baby.
I do. I want to hold Frank Ocean's baby and be like, why did you unfollow me on Instagram?
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, it's devastating.
Dude, I saw that aging at the speed of white.
Oh, dude. Oh, the barb.
Jesus Christ, man.
The barbs. The barbs are very mad at me. Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj came out.
She went full Joe Rogan for a minute there.
Yeah, and then backtracked so quick.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, just kidding. Like, I'm probably going to get it because of the tours. And yeah. My favorite thing is whenever conservatives are like, well, Nicki Minaj isn't a conservative as far as we know, but she's like a little bit, you know, she's a little kooky. She's a little anti-vaxxery, whatever. Hilarious that her, you know, cousin in Trinidad's best friend got a STI,
well, his dick
very
exploded,
likely.
Right?
Yeah, he very clearly got an STI where his ball sack.
STE, sexually transmitted explosion.
Like, definitely something like that.
Improvised explosive device.
And then he blamed it on COVID, and now the entire world knows. That's hilarious that Nicki Minaj just, like, exposed them this way. But a lot of people were criticizing her, so immediately she was like, well, I'm probably going to get it because I'm forced to get it when I'm touring. And that's yet another example that, like, mandates work, okay?
Yeah.
That's it. You can be vaccine hesitant, but when someone forces you, when someone says, like, hey, you want to keep making money? You got to get this fucking vaccine for public safety.
Yeah.
As a public health measure, everyone's like, all right, I guess I got to do it.
Well, there's only a sample size of a few billion, Hassan.
Yeah.
They're waiting until the hard evidence comes.
Not enough. Well, if you ask like some of these fucking psycho anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, they're like, we need to see what happens in a few years.
Yeah, they're like, they're all going to die in 3 years. Like, we're all going to die, bro.
Two-year, Joe Biden.
Yeah, we're all going to fucking die, dude. It's just so stupid. Or maybe every fucking capital owner has a vested interest in like normalizing the experiences so we can get back to fucking work toiling the goddamn land or consuming. So that's precisely why they had a vested interest in like ensuring that there was a safe and effective vaccine that was delivered to every single person.
Sweet consumption.
That's it. You know, everyone's lying though, of course. Basically. Everyone, you're in on a truth that you and your Facebook aunt know. Like, you guys are dumb, dude.
Do your own research, Hassan.
Yeah.
Do your own research.
Yeah, just like, it blows my fucking mind. But yeah, I ratioed Nicki Minaj, which is insane, because she has a very active Twitter following.
And they came back.
Yeah, they're not that bad. It's like surprising.
Aging at the speed of white was pretty fucking funny. It's
pretty good line.
That shit made me laugh.
I agree. She's like, you were only relevant because you were hot. Now you're fat and stupid and ugly, and your career is over because you're about to be 40. I'm like, Nicki Minaj is literally 38 years old. Nicki Minaj is 38 years old, dude. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it feels bad, man.
Thank God for all of the non-FDA approved, surgeries and whatnot that Nicki Minaj has gotten so she can, I guess, dupe her fans into believing that she's not 38 years old, which is fine. Like,
listen,
you know, she looks great.
Putting your stomach fat in your cheeks, safe. Putting a COVID vaccine, it's going to make your dick explode.
Yeah, exactly, which is insane.
These are the facts.
Yeah, you can't deny it, liberal. You
right
can't.
From the Trinidad research facility.
Yeah, I did my goddamn research on the toilet while I was, you know, reading Facebook memes. Like, oh man, dude.
What?
incredible research.
Dude, that's also incredible to me is like there's like a whole generation of grifters who like get the COVID vaccine and then like take a 30-second video of them being like,
oh, yeah.
And they're please go to my Patreon and give me money.
Yeah, they're like, oh, no.
Every time my husband says my name, I shit myself.
Yeah, it's like,
here's a video. Nancy?
And they make money.
Ah, COVID!
They make money that way, too. It's
they
so
make
sad.
Big money till they get caught.
Yeah, and then you know, Patreon or GoFundMe takes them down, brother.
Yeah.
They're in the pocket of Big Pharma, too. It's like, you know, Jesus Christ, dude. It's so fucked.
I need money for ivermectin.
Like, people are just, like, scrolling down, like, legitimate people being like, I need money for my cancer treatment to go to the fucking conservative grifter who's like, yeah, I took the vaccine, look at me. And it's like, yep, that's the one I'm going to fund.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm giving money to. We just suck. Humans are so disgusting, dude. Especially Americans. I hate us. I hate us so much.
Dude,
we're so filthy.
All the people that pretend to have ailments on like TikTok and stuff, that shit makes no sense to me.
No, it's just like, there are two different things that are happening that I was thinking about a lot this morning.
Sure.
One is like the hyper medicalization of like every normal innocuous human behavior.
Yeah.
As though it's like a trauma response. It's like, the fuck, dude? Like, yeah. It'll be like, you know, so, actually, I just found out that like I was doing some pop psychology and I found out that like if you smile back at a guy that's walking down the street, that's actually a trauma response. It's like,
yeah.
No, or you could just be like a normal person. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I am a regular victim of nose flatulence.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what? I sneeze a lot.
Yeah.
And it hurts my ribs.
Everything has become like a medical phenomena. Yeah. You're not a liar anymore. You're a gaslighter. Okay. Yeah. You're not a liar. You're a gaslighter. You're not an asshole. You're fucking toxic. Like everything you experience, like all of your, you know, minor neuroses that you could potentially fucking either, you know, work through self-improvement or actually get medical help for or therapy for is actually just a trauma response.
Yeah.
You know, you got post-traumatic stress disorder from looking at fucking memes. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, everything has become incredibly hyper-medicalized in this way. And I always wonder, like, what will that actually do to, like, the
Pepe
real...
Pepe gave me Munchausen syndrome.
Yeah. And then also simultaneously on the other side of it, you have people that are demonstrating mental illness on the timeline for fucking clout. Like,
yeah.
Whether it's legitimate or illegitimate, you have people who are literally like, you have people who are, and I'm not saying like disabled people are faking it. Don't misunderstand me. That's a very common ableist thing that occurs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about people who are like very clearly unwell, but because it's like really interesting to look at someone who is unwell and like fascinating to follow them, they're blowing the fuck up. And then they just like that reinforces that kind of that reinforces that fucking attitude.
Well, they've co-opted like the emotions that you feel like when you see someone like you know, like a Paralympian, where you're like, they overcame that, like what a fucking G. And basically they try and like take that whole thing like, I don't let my whatever hold me back. And then it's like, but they don't have that thing. So they're just...
or if it's like, or there's like a, there is a degree, right? There is like, I don't know what is like appropriate to say here, but like, we all know that there is like an actual spectrum of like debilitating diseases, right?
Yeah.
And if you're like right here on the spectrum where you have like light ADHD and you're acting like you're fucking, you know, paraplegic cancer patient.
Yeah.
Like, you're a fucking weirdo, dude. Like, shut the fuck up. You're being insane. Okay. Just be normal. Just chill the fuck out, please. And it really frustrates me.
I have debilitating ADHD.
Yeah. It's like, and ADHD can be debilitating. I mean, I'm fucking ADHD as shit. You
yeah,
guys
but
know
I
this.
Can still walk.
Yeah, like
I have ADHD
like,
as well.
I feel like it's disrespectful. I mean, people are going to get so mad at me for this because disability activists are very careful.
Because, listen, in this specific instance, you and I both have ADHD. I was one of the first fucking 30 kids on Adderall. No one could tell me shit about having ADHD. I came with I came with my receipts last night, bro. I came with my dyslexia. My mom sent me all my spelling tests from the fifth grade, and I was going through them. F, the note from my mom. We spent 8 hours studying last night and stuff. F. My teacher like, you need to figure this fucking kid out.
Yeah.
I get it. I get the struggle. It's still not the same thing.
Yeah. And you know, maybe we're just like getting older and more conservative as a consequence of that. But like, I feel like the phenomena observed by Foucault about the industry of psychology and the medicalization of some of these you know, disabilities created a system in which, like, you know, we started otherizing disabled people rather than finding them fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's what he talks about, like the village idiot. Like, the village idiot was Socrates, was like a fucking, you know, you could consider him to be like, Or the other like village idiots, you could consider them to be like fascinating individuals that were a part of the structure of society. And then we were like, oh no, never mind. That guy's fucked up. We got to put him in an asylum. And like, we pushed these people away. Now we have like both of those attitudes on overdrive. On the one hand, you have like innocuous things that are like actually hyper-medicalized. This is a trauma response. That everything's a trauma response. And then also simultaneously, we are going back to the era of like, oh, the Village Idiot is like actually very smart.
Yeah.
Very smart. He has a lot of good ideas.
I think we should
take ivermectin.
The other thing at the core of this that I think is very sad is I think truly deep down, you know, I don't mean to get too holistic and schmaltzy here, but everybody just wants to matter, right? Everyone wants to matter or be seen or have a moment where someone gives them true empathy or, you know, reaches out to them and lets them know that their existence matters. And I think we live in an era where there are so many people and there's so much information and we're so segregated from the main populace, not only in the fact that we exist totally online, but that we're actually being told to stay inside and not go to public spaces and all of this.
Yeah.
That people are desperate to put the spotlight on themselves in whatever way to get that, you know, that kind of attention from outside people or outside bodies to just be like, yeah, you do exist. You do matter. Like, you know, and that sucks. And we have to figure out a way to be better to people so that they don't feel like they have to do these things to get any kind of love or attention.
It's double alienation. You get alienation from your labor. Like, you have no control over your life that you spend like 80% of your fucking living existence of your adulthood on at a workplace where your boss tells you what the fuck you need to do. You have no control over that. And then we have alienation in society because there's no like communal organization. There's no, you know, you have nothing. Like we have physical space. We do stuff in the physical space in an effort to win over points in a digital space that does not even exist, that could just go away like that. And I have no idea how that's going to end up, you know, changing our attitudes or how it already has changed our attitudes or what kind of impact it has had on our mental health. It's probably not good though. It feels a little crazy sometimes, maybe because I'm getting older. Yeah. Speaking of getting older.
Yeah.
You're 32.
I'm 32.
As of yesterday.
Yeah.
I have one of your birthday gifts for you.
Oh.
That's right. It's right here. This is fan art.
Is this ivermectin?
It's ivermectin. For those of you at home, you will not see this.
Are we Hulks?
This is us on Instagram.
Wow.
Shamblin made this. This is...
We're Hulks.
For those of you at home, if you want to...
Oh, that's very cool.
It's a famous Instagram photo that Will and I had taken long-ass time ago.
This is very cool.
So that's a part one.
Wow.
There's a couple in there. I'm going to give you one of them.
They were very generous to my build.
No. You were actually fucking shredded back then. Don't worry.
All right, well... Okay, I gotta get it back.
So that's number one. Okay. So happy birthday to you.
I love this. This is amazing. I'm gonna hang this up in my stream room.
Hell yeah. How are you feeling about that?
About getting older?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. Last birthday was a lot harder because obviously it was COVID.
Yeah. What did we do?
Nothing really. I can't remember even. My whole thing was like, I felt myself deteriorating during COVID. Now, like even after this, I'm going to the gym, I'm eating better. I can feel my life coming back, my life force coming back.
Same.
But dude, I'm not gonna lie, when that week before they opened gyms again at all, I was in the worst health of my life.
Same.
I would just walk around and like be sick. And you knew this, but I would rollerblade at night. I would go for like 5-hour walks at night when I would listen to
Rolling for Dick.
Dude, I never told anybody, but I fell so... I knocked myself out one night.
Wait, really?
I fell so hard, dude.
Holy shit.
I fell so hard. I was going down a hill, and I just got going too fast, and I came out, and I just went like that, and I was like, oh, fuck. And then I bought all the pads, because I was like, I can't do that again. That was grisly.
Uh-huh.
But I had like... fucked my rotator cuff up. And then when I went to Austin, I definitely tore this rotator cuff.
Or Austin or Nashville?
No, at Austin.
In the bounce house. Oh, true.
So I feel like I'm just starting to get my health back together and it feels so good. But like the whole thing is it's not an age thing. It's a maintenance thing, right?
Yeah.
And like, here's the thing.
Well, age also makes it harder.
But what I'm trying to say is there are a lot of people out there that do not invest in their bodies. They you know, you're anti-gym, you're anti-workout. Coming from two men who just took a year off working out, cut that shit out.
Yeah, dude.
Go take care of your body. I don't care if it's walking uphill on a treadmill for 30 minutes. You must make it a part of your routine. It will change your fucking life. Your brain works better. Your guts work better. You feel better. You fuck better. Everything is better. Go take care of your body. You only own two things in this life. Your mind, which you're enriching right now on the internet, listening to Fear and Molding. Now go take care of your fucking body, because it's the only two things you own in this world.
Yeah, it's and the other part of that is like, look, I'm a pretty strong dude. Like, I'm a big boy, so I can put up a lot of weight when it comes to, like, you know, exercising in the gym with like a bench press and like weightlifting. I'm fine with that. You know what kills me? Like, you know what murders me still to this day?
What?
The, like, calisthenics.
Yeah.
And so most of the stuff that I do with my trainer now is just calisthenics, like single arm and single leg exercises that reinforce stability and like activate muscles that you normally are supposed to be activating when you're doing compound muscle lifts.
Yeah.
But in a way that like targets them in hyper specific ways. And if you're a big boy like I am, and many of you that haven't, you know, worked out in many years or haven't worked out at all are probably big boys, like moving your body around is going to be good enough exercise for you. You don't even need like a fat gym membership or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely, you know, definitely fucking do some stretches at the very least.
So bottom line, I feel better at 32 than I did at 31 by a long shot.
That's good. I still haven't gotten there yet. I think I was like, I deteriorated more when I started playing Grand Theft Auto Roleplay than anything else. Yeah. Like, COVID cooked me, obviously. Like,
your
in the beginning.
Timeline was insane.
Yeah.
You would be like, yeah, I wake up early so I can get some GTA in. Then I'll stream the news so people don't kill me.
Yeah.
Then I'll do GTA. I'll eat. Do more GTA, sign off stream, do a little bit more GTA.
I was playing like,
yeah.
I'm still one of the top content creators that streamed the most on NoPixel, and I haven't played the game in months.
You did a lot.
Yeah. So that like fucked me up, dude. I was, it didn't fuck me up. COVID fucked me up, but like that kicked it into overdrive. Like January, you know, post January, like even during the election cycle, like I was still kind of fine. Like, it definitely wasn't great, but I had, like, somewhat of a stability in my life, but, like, that...
Peak COVID time was a weird time, man. I look back at how I worked out, worked, and slept all in the same 5x5, basically.
Yeah, same.
Nuts.
I would do, like, exercises on stream and stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah, dude, you fucking the couch.
Yeah, famously.
What a moment.
But, you know, we're getting better slowly but surely, despite the best efforts of conservatives to keep this pandemic going by refusing to get vaccinated and, you know, looking for alternative treatments.
Yeah.
One last thing before we go, I wanted to, do we have voicemails? I think we should skip them this week. Because I wanted you to talk about Norm MacDonald. Were you a big fan of Norm?
Yeah, well, and we can consider this our American me up. Yeah, you know what? Like, you know me. I was a huge SNL guy, and Norm is kind of from that amazing era of when SNL was this bastion for comedy and free thought. I don't know if you know this. Do you know why Norm MacDonald got fired?
Didn't he, shit.
He wouldn't stop making OJ jokes.
Oh yeah. That's what
during,
it was.
During the trial, apparently this is legend. This is deep background. He might've been fired for any number of reasons, but apparently one of the producers at SNL was friends with OJ Simpson. And this was during the trial, and Norm MacDonald would make jokes like, this year,
murder is legal.
Sleepy truckers killed 1,000 people, making it the most dangerous profession. In second place was O.J. Simpson, who killed 2 people. and he just kept making jokes like this, and apparently they let him go, which was ironic because a year and a half later, they had him back as a host. So it obviously wasn't because he wasn't funny.
Yeah, no, his weekend updates were legendary from what I understand.
Yeah, and, you know, Norm is a guy who I think very misunderstood comedian because I think a lot of people just don't understand that super dry, humor. I think a really good example of how funny and unusual he could be was his roast of Bob Saget, where he literally used all jokes from like, it was either like Bazooka Joe rappers or like the 1950s.
Yeah.
Where he was like, and everybody was like, what is he doing? But just uncanny, weird stuff like that. And, you know, a guy who's pretty well respected and very friendly to everybody. You know, I think it's interesting that he did a bit about battling cancer where he's like, yeah, I hate that people call it battling cancer because, you know, if you die, everybody thinks you're a loser. The last thing you did was lose your battle to cancer. You know, it could be that used to you just be able to get sick and die. And now you got a battle, you know, and
he was hiding it at the time, right?
Yeah, he was hiding it at the time. But, you know, huge loss for the world of comedy. Absolute legend in the space. Just a big loss. And I know a lot of funny people are feeling that. And I know a lot of people who just enjoyed his work are feeling that today. So,
yeah. Well, luckily you can always go back and, you know, relive those memories on YouTube if you ever want to.
Yeah.
It is like it's a weird thing, but it's one of the good things about the internet, I guess, is that like you can always go back and remember Norm MacDonald.
Yeah.
And his greatest hits.
Yeah.
My favorite is the 9/11 one, obviously.
He's like, it will be.
Yeah. JetBlue was rated like America's best airlines.
Yeah.
America's worst airline was 9/11 Airlines. Yeah. He's like, what a terrible way to name that after that tragedy.
Such a dude, I love how like brilliantly stupid he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like I'm not even going to repeat it. I can't. I don't have the cadence.
Yeah,
I will
it's
butcher
so
it.
Dry.
I will butcher it.
The only guy who can properly do Norm MacDonald jokes that we know is Schlatt.
Yeah, Jay Schlatt.
Schlatt's built for that.
Jay Schlatt's cadence is very, that's why I was like telling Zoomers this day, like if you don't know who Norm MacDonald is, it's like
You know the first time I hung out with Jay Schlatt, I was like, dude, you give me such insane Norm MacDonald vibes. And he's like, yeah, that's so flattering because when I was at the deli, I would always listen to Norm. Yeah. So like a big part of his delivery was Norm, which is, you know.
That was my roast of him when on my roast on the Austin show, the first one, when he was on, I was like, you know, Jay Schlatt banks on the fact that Zoomers have no idea who the fuck
Norm MacDonald is.
Yeah.
Shouts out Jay Schlatt. Jay Schlatt's fucking hilarious, bro.
Yeah, he's great. Okay, well, on that note, I think we can end it here. We've definitely gone over time.
Yep. Hey, we need to get those pillows in production. People are rabid for those.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll do that. But on that note, you guys should still like, subscribe, and follow.
Yes.
You know, sorry for the 1 week hiatus that we took off because Will was celebrating 9/11. It's weird. Yeah.
Dancing on a rooftop in Jersey.
He's fucked up. I don't know why he did that, but but yeah, so just, you know, we're back and we're going to continue doing our weekly barcast and hopefully with some more guests. So yeah, make sure to, like I said, like, subscribe, review. We're going to have a fucking advertisement next week.
We're going to have an ad.
We're going to have an ad read next week.
We're going to have an ad.
We're going to finally, one of these stupid idiots dumb enough to give us an advertisement. So yeah, look forward to that brand read. Dude. But yeah, all right, on that note, peace.
Fuck it, I'm saying it, dude.
What's up, everybody?
If you just enjoyed that episode, I need you to do the following. Put your hand on your mouse. Move that mouse in an orbital fashion until the cursor lands atop one of the buttons you see on your screen. Hit the subscribe, hit the bell, hit the follow, whatever you please, so that you can get the most Fear and Molding for your buck.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.